السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels once again, alhamdulillah, and we are happy to be back with our wonderful listeners once again on air, alhamdulillah. With us in the studio this morning we have Ali Mangli. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajatimu, and to all our wonderful listeners. It feels very good, alhamdulillah, to be talking to somebody. The last two programs I was talking to myself on air, and I didn't know, you know, it's difficult when you talk on air on your own, like, and you're not sure who you're having a conversation with. I'm more of a conversation person. So, alhamdulillah, we are very, very blessed and very happy that you are back, mashallah, in the studio with us, coming from the holy lands, alhamdulillah. You can see the lots of noor, mashallah, on Mulana Sajjad Timol. You know, he's brought it back with him. We will listen to a little bit about that, you know, as the program progresses, inshallah.
I mean, inshallah, inshallah. Yusuf, how was the holiday period?
Shukr, the holiday was good, alhamdulillah. We didn't leave very early for Durban. I think I only left on the 27th.
Okay.
And I stayed by Kalu's house for a few days.
Oh, sure.
Kalu must be listening now, because Kalu and them, they listen every Saturday, mashallah. Kalu, if you're listening, jazakallah for your hospitality, and Kala also, with her jam biscuits and her curry, mashallah. And really, really appreciated it. And then we went for a few days down to South Coast as well, you know, to spend some time in a holiday there.
Okay, it's you know, it's just so strange that you have to have your body physically, mentally, just needs that break.
Yes.
It just needs a break, and then you get back to the normal hustle bustle of life, and you continue things again for the next year, and then by the end of the year again you just feel okay, like my body just craves that that few days as a break. It's something well deserved. It keeps you fresh again for the balance of the year.
I always feel that if I take a bath in the sea, you know, then I'm fine for the whole year. Yeah,
it helps,
alhamdulillah. I'm sure lots of people feel that way, because some people, when you see them on holiday, they don't want to come out of the sea. And yeah, we had good weather, mashallah. Very little rain, you know, in KZN. I think it only started raining on the day we were leaving.
Yeah, I was just sorry that I know here, Joburg, alhamdulillah, we're getting some decent rain. Other areas also, there is some decent rain, but then you're getting areas like the Free State and Matera as well, as you'll say.
Yes. There's a lot of focus, and a lot of good work is being done currently with this Operation Hydrate. I'm sure you've been seeing that as well. It would be good to actually get somebody that can give us a little bit more information on that, inshallah. But you can see, it's like we said before, you only realize the seriousness of this water shortage when you go out. I mean, to go to KwaZulu-Natal, to be in Durban and South Coast, in Margate and Shelly Beach and those areas, and to see it like a little bit dryish, you know. I was even speaking to one of those people there in the South Coast and saying that, you know, when last did you have rain? And they say, no, it comes very little. It's not, you know, as common as it used to be, and it just comes for a little light drizzle and then it's gone. But you can see the impact it's having on the people. I mean, you go for a holiday to like a resort, or you go to a chalets or a self-catering place, and then they've got these boards put up to say, like, conserve water because there's water shortages.
So those type of things you never see.
You never used to see that before, yeah. So you got to be a little bit more careful now when you are dealing with your use of water.
A friend of mine said to me that they were in Bloemfontein last week. I don't know exactly which it was, but nonetheless, he said they're actually having water shedding from in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. I believe there was water shedding in KZN as well. The family were also telling us that, you know, there were times when they had to collect water and then, you know, the water would be shut off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that now during the holiday period.
Cape Town has it as well. From the 1st of January.
Yeah, it's bad. We were speaking, I was speaking to Farooq Hassan I think you were here also at that time, and we were speaking to him, and he was also explaining how dry that part of the country is, you know, and you can really see the impact of this lack of water and what it's doing to the country. I mean, we've seen photos on social media of animals that are basically just dying. It's something serious, and we really, really need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him, you know, for beneficial rain, inshallah.
And it's so surprising that now, you know, before, where would we ever sit down, and especially us in South Africa, I mean, we were quite spoiled with this. Where would you sit down and hear people actually talking about the water crisis, or people talking about what we could do to assist, what we could do to change our condition?
Yes.
It was never ever negative when it came to water. Perhaps we can see worst case scenario is your electricity. And now you would find most of people that are having a conversation, discussing something, they're all talking about the water issue. And, you know, you just make dua that it shouldn't be that after this, if Allah gives us the rain again, if Allah gives us the rain again, we make dua that Allah gives us the rain. Now we lose that appreciation again. Because now it seems to be at that point where, even by us, although we have that rain now, alhamdulillah, but initially you found a lot of people now speaking about your wudu, saving water, conserving water when going to the toilet, not washing the vehicles, not doing this, not doing that. You know, so there was that kind of appreciation for the water that we had. Now it shouldn't be that Allah gives the rain again and we go back to square one, where we just start wasting, where the taps are running again, you're not bothered about the water when washing your vehicle, whatever you may be doing. You just go back to square one again.
I think it always boils down to self-reflection. You know, we don't sit down and reflect and look at the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And to make shukr for these ni'mat. And one of the ways of making shukr for something is to actually look after it when it's given 100%. To you.
100%.
On the other hand, you had, when we came back, it was the Friday just before schools opened on the Monday for teachers. And that Saturday, there was such a huge storm that they in Krugersdorp, in Krugersdorp area, the damage was so bad that one of the shopping malls there, one of the whole roofs, the whole roof cave
collapsed.
In,
yeah,
you know, and it was actually closed down for a few days. You got this one part of the country that's not getting.
How does they feel? Can't they channel this water or the extra water that we have in certain areas, you know, to benefit people in
but
areas.
But then that just shows how small and insignificant we are as insan, as human beings. Because all this is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with all our machinery and all our education, all our intelligence.
I had a woman at my house last night from Newcastle. And he's telling me about 2 or 3 weeks back, because apparently they also they're having quite difficult in terms of rain. But he's telling me about 2 or 3 weeks ago, in the whole area, no rain at all. There happened to be one farmer, for one day, where on his farm, for some odd reason that day, Allah's Qudra, it poured the entire day.
Subhanallah.
He said there were people that go there to fish in, you know, by the river in his farm. He said the people that went fishing couldn't leave that night.
Because it was flooding.
They had to stay overnight, but nowhere else was it raining.
Subhanallah.
Every other farm, the whole town, everything was dry. Just that property per se had so much of rain. It shows the power of Allah.
It's not in our control. It really isn't, and this is what we've got to come to realize.
They can say, initially prediction was now for early March, where rain is only going to come in the Joburg area. So. Okay, see Usama waving his hand off there that we have Luqman with us on the line. Let's go to Luqman. Yeah, Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you,
alhamdulillah, Luqman, how are you keeping?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum, Adil, and to all the listeners as well.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Luqman, mashallah, just before you got on, we were talking about, obviously, the water crisis is still a big issue, but, getting back to your slot, alhamdulillah, and discussing the fishing around the country, give us a little bit of an idea. I know some guys are saying that they're still catching kerpa, but nobody wants to tell us where they're catching the kerpa.
Well, was Luqman on in the previous week? It's okay, so I thought it's not... It's not the first weekend back, welcome the men back.
In fact, Luqman was, last week Luqman was actually on the farm, and he was looking for a lion, believe it or not. So we also got to get an update on that story, Luqman.
First of all, obviously I didn't find the lion is not lion. But I didn't look too hard, you know, like I said, we were busy just doing some general maintenance, and the work was about too much before, you know, so I spent time doing work more than looking for lions. But they made two kills while I was there. One, they killed a huge kudu bull and also a young buffalo, which they killed while I was there, you know, early morning after Fajr. It was very nice. You could hear them roaring close by. But we didn't actually find them as such. But even in that part of the area, you know, the talking about rain and rainfall, it is quite down. You know, the Olifant River runs through the property, so that's very low at the moment. I mean, the animals like your buffalo, your lions especially, are crossing it very easily. For them to cross the river at this time of the year is nothing. You know, there's shallow banks, shallow water. Elephants are crossing through. So even your general, like, water buck and stuff also are crossing over the river because it's so low.
Lukman, tell me something just on that point. Is it a good thing for you guys on the farm? Because now, does that mean there's more animals coming into the farm?
It works both ways, you know, and we look at it from a grazing point of view. Because of the low rainfall, you know, even on our property itself, the grazing is not good at all. You know, it's in a critical stage at the moment. So we're happy, you know, that the animals can move. And what the whole idea behind it is, natural migration takes place where they move to areas that's got more and greener grass. So it's also, you know, you're talking about the system of Allah, that it's his system, it's his way, that this time of the year or certain times of the year, animals move to different areas for a reason that only he knows. So we just accept it and live with it that way. As far as the fishing is concerned, coming back to the area I was in, I visited a friend of ours that got an adventure camp. It's called a Blyder Adventure Camp. Situated on the Blyder River, they've got about 1.5 kilometers of riverfront. And there, you know, fortunately, the two different scenarios is they had more rain. The river was not as full as it normally is, but it was still flowing quite fast. And what was very nice, it's crystal clean water. They sit below the Blyder Dam, you know, most people that went to the area where the Blyder River Canyon is in it. So the Blyder Dam, they sit below it, and there's lots of yellowfish. There's nice bass, there's smallmouth and largemouth, and there's kirpa in his river system, in the Blyder River system. So it was very nice to visit. You know, they accommodate all types of, mainly for schools, you know, they do the school children, they go out on an excursion.
Right.
And first of all, you know, what hits you first when you get there is the beautiful scenery and surroundings around you. You've got the whole mountain range where the Blyder River is, Blyder River Canyon, and you're looking, basically when you step out of your shallow, so to speak, you're looking at this huge mountain in front of you, sort of, and so beautiful. I mean, Allah has created that, mashallah, so beautiful.
Lukman, just sorry for that, man. On that point, we're talking about this canyon and things like that. Is there a specific area there where they say that fishing is allowed? But somebody said to me that I think it's only allowed once in the year for a very short period of time, where it's open and it's closed again.
That's in the dam itself. The only time they fish is when they're doing research to see the growth of fish and what types of fish. So once a year they do research from the fisheries department and nature conservation. So that's the only time you're allowed to fish in the dam itself. But on the river system, if you know any farm owners or like this Blyder River Adventure Camp, I mean, there you can go and fish. They'll allow you to fish. And then they've got all different types of swings, and you can do river rafting. And it's a very nice venue if any of the schools. And just chatting to them, alhamdulillah, you know, they did mention that some of the Muslim schools, they have been there. They've had some groups go through, and very happy to deal with our people, you know, very easy, well-mannered, which was a very good thing to hear.
Right.
And, you know, the students, the teachers themselves were all, you know, very well-mannered and behaved. So it was a good thing as a Muslim to hear that they were happy with the way we behaved. And as far as the fishing is concerned, kirpas,
you know, it is carpet season, and there's no specific dam that's doing exceptionally well. Is you just have to choose a dam and go. You know, Lost Copies fishing started well already. And what's nice is, although the dam level is a bit lower, but even some decent bass, I mean, somebody sent me a photo for 2.85 kilo bass that came out now last week. So at Lost Cop. So Lost Cop is a venue where you can do all types of fishing. You can fish for bass, you can fish for carpa. A good species, a lot of guys tackle, is a red-nosed mudfish also, which is a very aggressive, and it fights, you know, they call it the V8 of the water. So that's all you can fish for carp, a barber, yellowfish. So Lost Cop is probably one of your better venues. Then you got Arabi.
But how's the carpa doing there currently, Rukman?
They are catching, but you got to be very careful if you're going with a boat, because the levels are so low at Arabi. There's a lot of rocks and that are sitting just below the surface. So if you are going, just be careful. Don't go flat out with your boat. Make sure you're watching your fish finder to see, you know, water depths and where the channels are. And at the same time, get somebody to be looking in front all the time to see if he can see any of the rocks sitting just below the surface. The last thing you want is a gearbox to come off. Over December, a couple of boats ran into sandbanks, and the problem there is it's infested with crocodiles. So if you hit a sandbank, then to get off and try and push your boat out of it is a risk. So if you are going, just make sure you run the river channel and know where you're running. Then you're like, I don't know, rest of winter, you're catching carpas, but nothing big. Same as Porotolalo, the guys are catching decent sizes, you know, depends which spot you take. At the end of the day, if you go early enough, you'll get a good spot, and then you can catch good fish. So I would say any of your dams that go through carpa, but this is the time, you know, January up to March is your best time to fish for blues. So just make sure you choose a venue, and the important thing is to go early.
Well, what about the Lost Cop carpa fishing, Rukman, by and large? Is it like what it used to be previously, much more difficult?
It changes, you know, and I always believe that if a dam level is lower, you catch more because of the fish are more concentrated. So that's what it is at the moment. Look, we haven't had any report yet, but of guys that caught big numbers, but I'm sure it will come. It should come on any day now, where you start catching lost here.
Lukman Mia, Jazakallah for that. Final message for the listeners before you go off air.
Well, a fish even on a coast is still on, so even people that want to go down, you know, fish off Durban, you know, like we mentioned, the Dorados are still running flat out. I spoke to a guy yesterday, and his friends are there at the moment, and they're still catching. So if anyone wants to go and have some fun, you know, charter a boat out of Durban or even south coast like Margate, and you can catch up. The guy that I spoke to yesterday for the day, they caught 20 Dorado, which is
sure.
A lot. So, yeah, the fish are biting all over the show. Even if you want to do some spinning off the Mozambican coast, you know, with like drop shotting and stuff, this is a good time. You know, January, February, and into March, you know, we start coming up to this, what we call a southwest season, where people go to Namibia as well. So guys are already starting to get ready, you know, buying their hooks, buying sinkers, and then trying to source decent bait. That starts happening now already, because the fishing should start picking up there. And then your normal carp fishing and yellow fishing is still on the go. Although the carp fishing on the Vaal Dam, lots of small fish. I think if you want the bigger fish, you're going to either have to row your line in or take it out with a boat. You want to get into deep water where you'll get your bigger fish. So yeah, everybody must just continue fishing. Yeah.
And come to Solly's Angler's Corner if you need anything.
To fill the tackle boxes.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
The one you haven't been out anyway. You said last week you were at the farm.
Yeah, the
serious fishing anywhere else?
At the Wharf, we fished on the Christmas weekend. We had a very nice trip at the Wharf, you know, quite a few of us got together and had a good weekend out and caught some nice fish at the same time. So it was
Carpa or bass, Lukman?
Bass. We did see some kelp. I mean, the nice thing about the WERP is the water is very clean, but we were targeting mainly bears. We did try for kelp, but they weren't biting at that time. But I'm sure now, like I say, it is kelp season. Maybe by now they should be on the bite, no?
Well, JazakumAllah for your time, Allah Rabbul Izzah reward. Inshallah, we'll catch up with you next weekend.
Assalamu alaikum.
That was Luqman Mia from Solly's English Corner, giving us our fishing report as usual. Coming up, inshallah, we will be talking to Adil Matwadia, and of course we've got that interview with Farooq Hassan a little bit later on. You didn't tell us about your trip. Where were you, Maulana Sajjad Timo?
Alhamdulillah, I was going for Umrah, alhamdulillah, in the holiday period, and what can I say?
No place what's better than that?
No place better to go to than the Haramain to Makkah Medina.
How was the crowd?
Very heavy this year comparatively to other years.
Okay.
Very heavy. In fact, I don't know, for some odd reason the Sarashikans were less, or because of the large number of other nationalities, perhaps you're not seeing a lot of Sarashikans. So it's either or, because I know there were a lot of the locals that I spoke to that said there, and many of them asked him, but isn't it now your holiday period? Isn't it now the holiday period? So I said, yeah, I mean, that's why you're seeing South Africans. He said, no, we're not seeing South Africans like how we normally see South Africans. We're not seeing South Africans like how we normally see South Africans. Perhaps
maybe a rand dollar exchange rate or something.
Very, very.
Yeah.
You know, actually, when you see the guy from India and Pakistan there now, you kind of feel, like, okay, and I realize and I understand how you've been feeling till now. I mean, it was 4.20 cents. Anything you're doing, you're just converting that amount. So it becomes very, very tough. It becomes very tough. But then, of course, on the other hand, once you're in the haram, then, I mean, you forget about that. It doesn't even cross your mind. You lift your hands and you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in the haram, with the construction in Makkah, Medina, you could feel the crowds. But I think by the day you could see the numbers getting less as well.
Right.
By the day you could see the numbers getting less as well. One thing, I know I don't want to go too deep into it because it becomes controversial again, but you know, many times on this social media we find this. I know when I was there that time, there was a message going around of a cleaner or a guard in the haram who owns, I don't know, all the top-notch hotels in India, and I don't know what, you know, what other stories. But then you come back and then you find out, oh, this is just a hoax again. Then the other day there was some pictures of snow and things like that. When you speak to the people, let's say, they say nothing like that happening. So, okay, although it's totally different from me going for Umrah, but it was regarding Makkah Medina. I think we should be very careful what we're posting, when we're posting, how we're posting.
But on that note, how was the weather there?
Makkah was very good. Considering it's winter.
Right.
The day we left from Makkah to Medina, which was around, I think it was New Year's Day or the day before, the 31st, it started raining. And within no time, you have floods. Within no time, you just start having floods, and you find the roads are flooding, and you find cars are parked up on the side of the road. So even a case where they just had not a lot of rain, because the drainage system is not so good, and now you start posting pictures. I show you some of the pictures. Literally, you think there was a flood there, and it perhaps must have rained for like 3-4 days non-stop and things like that. Whereas it started raining that morning at about 10, 11 o'clock. Zorsa is about 12, and about 2 hours, it stopped raining. So it was like a couple of hours, but okay, close to the haram, it wasn't so bad. But as we were leaving from Medina on the road, certain places, the bus had to actually like slow down and go slowly. Now you saw the rain there, you think to yourself, wow, this must have been like rain for the last couple of days. In Jeddah, it rained apparently a bit earlier that morning. And the taxi driver is telling me that his kids is from Jeddah. They never sent him to school that day.
Oh, sorry.
It rained a bit harder there. And like I said, again, the roads perhaps flooded. So, you know, it's like, perhaps raining for a couple of days, but he said, no, it just rains from this morning.
But they have something like flash flooding there, maybe.
That's it, yeah. Medina was a bit more chilly, so where after Maghrib, you probably needed a light jacket, nothing heavy. Nothing heavy, you need a light jacket.
And then it heats up.
After Maghrib, again, till about after Fajr, basically, that was it. And then for the day, weather was excellent, alhamdulillah. It was very, very good. But, you know, in Medina, you see the guards, and then you see the Dalla guys, the cleaners, and the locals. Some of them, Adil, you see big jars.
Okay.
And you find that the warm cap over,
And you find a guy with big boots.
The guy's feeling really cold.
Yourself, where this guy is coming from? They're feeling really cold.
Yeah, well, if someone comes from Durban now,
to Joburg, yeah.
And they're feeling this little bit of a chill, and then they want to put
they're going to say it's cold. Yeah. So you understand that, and you think to yourself, I mean, it's like lovely weather, subhanAllah. Like 1-2 evenings is when you never even needed the jacket.
Alhamdulillah,
the weather was excellent. Allah accept. That's, I think, the most important.
I mean, I hope you made lots of dua for us, inshallah. We've got Adil Matwadia on the radio with us. Adil is from Kapom, and a few weekends ago we introduced a competition that they were running. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Adil.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and the listeners.
Welcome to Screaming Reels once again. Tell us, Adil, what is happening on your side regarding your competition?
As you know, we had the competition initially for the 9th and 10th of January, then I pushed it forward for next weekend, being the 23rd, 24th, thinking that people are still on holiday,
right.
So they'll want some time. Thus far, I've only had 4 entrants to the competition, so now it leaves me in the dilemma of whether to host it or not. And the thing is, gives me 1 week now to prepare, and I don't think we're going to go forward with it, because as you know, with your survival thing, you need time well in advance to prepare things, you know, like a lot of things to be prepared before the your cause, and for me with the competition as well. So in that, it's sad, because people initially all phoned and SMSed and WhatsApped and whatever to say, how's the competition? We're all interested in bikinis. We enjoyed the last competition and whatever. And from there, nothing happened. So I don't know.
You think perhaps maybe it's got to do with the fact that many people have already come back from holiday and they're sitting with empty wallets, or you know, it's just a bad time of the year, perhaps. Adil, what's your take on that one?
I seem to think that also, and maybe because like you're saying, with school fees, and you know, everybody has to pay upfront for school fees now, and their consumables, etc., just to get all their stuff sorted out for the children. So rather, where they can save that little bit of money for now, they can. We might take it forward maybe in a month, 2 months' time, before the season is over, and try it again and see what happens. If there is a call, if people, I mean, we'll give out my number again, and if people really want to host the competition again, we'll help them out, no problem, inshallah.
I think
for now, also, I'm going to call this one off.
Okay, I think
what about... It's too soon after the holidays, where I mean, the guys get back, and
yeah,
you don't really want to...
You must remember, he was preparing for this before the holiday even began.
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, a guy probably before the holidays is looking forward to it, like everybody's looking forward to that competition or that extra activity coming the holidays. But now you just got back, and now you're thinking to yourself, you know what, listen now, I had enough for now, this 1 month. Perhaps, like, you're looking at next month or a few weeks later, you know, once the guys are hitting again a bit rock bottom after that holiday, like, you know, so just like a lift up spirit again to see.
You must remember, the Minister of Home Affairs has a very, very important say in this time of the year.
No, but this time, generally you're getting it right.
I've even had to cancel a fishing trip for this weekend because I've got to go and buy stationery, you know. So yeah, that's how it works this time of the year. But Adil, what I would suggest perhaps, if maybe you can put out a number, like a WhatsApp number or something, and people can actually suggest dates of when they would feel it better, or you suggest a date and then see what people feel. I don't know how you feel about that one.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine with me. I'll give you my number now. But the most important thing that I was looking forward to for next weekend was putting those pieces of chops for you and Maulana Sajjad on the braai.
You see them, Maulana Sajjad.
Now that's the problem.
We're losing out.
Yeah, big time.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. This is a big dilemma. Okay, but anyway, inshallah, we hope, we know, you know, that there are people that are going to be participating, inshallah, in this competitions. But like Adil said, unfortunately, this one is going to have to be called off because of not getting enough participants. I'll give out that number, inshallah, so people can contact you for when the next one is. And then, obviously,
when are you planning for the next one, Adil?
See, we maybe look at the long weekend, maybe in March or something, where, you know, people, maybe then, or even maybe before the long weekends, I think, would rather be better in that sense, because then it's a long weekend again.
becomes the problem where people want to then go out for
with their families
and then holiday with the families and the so maybe before that, but I'll keep in touch with you people as well to advertise again, inshallah. My number is 082-926-3914. And they can just check on our Facebook page as well, which is kapom.co.za, or even the website kapom.co.za.
Jazakallah so much for that, Adil Matwadia. Inshallah, we'll chat with you again closer to the time of the competition. We will keep in touch with you, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much.
Assalam.
For having your radio as well.
No problem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I thought we'll run that advert for the ending, but Osama is saying that I think they got sponsor promos to play as well. So let's just go for a quick break, inshallah, and when we return, we'll continue with the program. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program once again, alhamdulillah. And with us now in the studio, we have Brother Farooq Hassan. Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Just a quick recap of where we are at the moment in terms of Farooq's slot. We've been looking at the different parks around the country. Alhamdulillah, Farooq has been giving us a little bit of information on each one. Very, very interesting information. You know, even the journeys itself, you know, of getting to those parks. So far, we've already looked at, was it the Transfrontier Park? The Kalahari.
We spoke of the Kalahari and Okhrabis.
Okhrabis is the one that we did. Today, inshallah, we'll move on to a different park. But before that, Farooq, tell us a little bit about this campaign you guys are running in terms of the junior, honorary rangers.
Junior honorary rangers. See, for the benefit of the listeners and for those, I don't know if you might have seen in the Rising Sun this week's Rising Sun, there was an article mentioning something about the junior rangers. It's basically to groom our youth into those that have an interest or that show an interest or in nature conservation or anything nature in general. This program starts next Saturday, inshallah, the 23rd of January. It will be hosted every program will be hosted or will be conducted at Park Primary School. And there will be about nine occasions through the year where we would get together. And this, what's going to happen here is, obviously it's for children between the ages of 10 and 18. So at the age of 18, they can probably progress to become a senior honorary ranger. And it's good for the teachers as well, Adila. It will be nice if you can attend and just see, you know, what it's all about. Basically teaching children about getting them more environmental awareness, you know, inclined. Where some of the programs that are lined up for the years, like a bird identification, there's some, the first, in fact, next week, what's going to be discussed is the different biomes. Remember, here in South Africa, we have, I think it's like seven different biomes in the country, which, inshallah, through our discussions about the different national parks, we'll be discussing what the biomes are and whatever. Like you always ask about the fynbos.
Yeah.
You know, like where we are at the moment, we're sort of between a grassland and a savanna. So that's what's going to be the first discussion next week.
You see, wait, what you're doing now is we're going to open up such an important discussion here. Regarding, as far as teaching, number one, do you guys, do they have sort of a plan to go out to schools? Or is it just something where there's going to be a central venue and people are invited to come through?
And is there a registration process?
There is a registration process. Look, first of all, there's just the registration takes place next week. So for all those parents and juniors that want to get involved, it starts off at 8:30 registration next week at Park Primary School next week, Saturday. Coming back to the question of the schools, what a part of our work as honorary rangers, we do what we call a PEEP display. It's public education and awareness program, or public environmental awareness program, where we display, like we had in the shopping mall, where we have these skulls and, you know, skins and
right, excellent.
And we have this interaction with the public. So if anybody wants to know anything about the national parks and there's honorary rangers and some guides that are present and any questions that they have, you know, assisting them. And really, what I found, and this display we want to take and exhibit at a few schools, you know, children want to see, they want to touch, they want to feel.
Yes.
And hopefully through this program, inshallah, you know, we can get our kids' mindset towards following career paths in these
definitely, yeah,
in these ways. You know, we were not exposed to these things probably because there was no interest in the community, and obviously because of the past. That but we're not going to delve into that. But now that we've got the opportunity to bring this to the kids, and there's a lot of children that have this interest, and you really see that, you know, they want to, when they see this, especially the skin of an animal, or what used to create a lot of interest was the skull of a crocodile, you know. Mm-hmm. They want to see, touch they want it to touch it. It. Now, unfortunately, I think it's, you know, more because of our community, you see that. You notice when a child sees this, they want to run, you know, and come in, and the parent holds them back. Hey, no, don't touch, you know.
Like as if that skull is going
to
bite.
Yeah. Now this is something we need to get out of the minds of people as well. And yeah, alhamdulillah, if children can start thinking that line at a later stage, follow career paths in these, you know, let's start changing our mindset, you know. For every parent, or most parents, they want their child to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, you know. There's a lot of other career opportunities.
I think in a country like South Africa, it's so important, because the rest of the world thinks there's lions walking in our streets.
Well, I had a youngster ask this time again.
Yeah.
They say you come from where they got lot of animals everywhere.
it's our, you know, it's something that we should have it naturally. And in our children as well, they should have that exposure, definitely. So next week, Saturday morning, at Park Primary School.
At Park Primary School, at half past 8 to 12.
Is it the registration or is that...
Registration starts at half past 8.
And the program.
And then the program will start off probably at
you know what, is there a limit, Farooq, as to how many kids?
At the moment, no, there is no limit. Let's take it as it comes and see what happens. Okay. Obviously, age... between 10 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go too young because they tend to get bored. They're not going to understand too much. Sure. You know, so the understanding age between 10 and 18. And if there are any, what we said, if there are any children that are a part of the program between the age of 10 and 18, and if they have a younger sibling that also expresses an interest at about the age of 8 or 9 or whatever it is, we may take
consider
them.
You know, sure.
Obviously, because there is a sibling, you know, you don't want to split them as well.
Farooq, just another question relating to this particular program. What I was going to say is, you're talking about the biomes in it. I was going to say it's so interesting because I'm teaching that particular section right now. So what you're talking about is sort of related to the curriculum as well. So for parents who want to have some benefit over and above this is relating now to what they are currently doing in the science curriculum, and it will be interesting
to
send the kids.
And it would be for teachers as well. You know, as a teacher, Adil, you will know that it's very important to teach in a practical manner where you have a practical understanding of something.
Mm.
You know, especially those that do life sciences and things. You know, what we do discuss. Remember, it's not confined to only animals. Like we discuss in biomes now.
Mm.
At times we talk about trees. At times we talk about grasses now. The structure of a tree, what happens on the inside, you know, photosynthesis, all that is part of what we do as guides. So we discuss it occasionally on trail, and this, inshallah, we'd like to explain it to the children in a practical, or you can't do it practically, but in a way that they understand. So yeah, if there are teachers that are interested, come and have a look and see what it's all about. Hopefully, inshallah, through that they can also get a better understanding of what they are teaching.
You know, they say in Arabic, they say, ask the experience, not the wise. And it's a fact. Once you got more experience about something and you're witnessing it yourself, it makes a very big difference.
Yeah, and then you can explain it better. And 100%. If somebody asks you any question, you know, you can relate.
You show it to them.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. It makes a very big difference.
No, but that's a fact. Coming from a perspective of a teacher, I would tell you definitely. I've seen when on my program, when I take kids out and I explain to them something like photosynthesis there,
and
you know, in the bush
now. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I explain to them in the classroom, it makes a huge difference.
And
now they get the understanding
good thing,
of it.
Yeah, it's just taking the minds of our kids off computer and your PlayStations and you know your TV games and things like that, and getting them back into the bush and onto the streets and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
It's something good as
so
well.
So I definitely, inshallah, you can count me in for next week. Inshallah. And I will bring my boys as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
It's something I'm really excited about. Anybody that is there a number or something that people can contact for now if they want to make further queries? And then another question I want to ask you while you're on that is the Johannesburg South area. What area does this cover?
Okay.
Because this Park Primary program is going to be obviously for Johannesburg South.
For the Johannesburg South region, it doesn't cover any particular geographic area. I mean, if you're from the area of Mayfair and you'd like to be a part of it, if you're in Azadville,
okay,
like
so
yourself,
this is not restricted to a particular
not
area.
At all.
All right.
It's just because it's run by the region, you know, and we call it the Johannesburg South region. So anybody within the community that is interested in it, yes, you're welcome to join.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to know anything regarding the juniors, they can contact our coordinator, Shiraz Patel. I'll get his number for you right now.
In the meantime, Farooq, while you're searching out that number, thereafter your follow-up sessions, how and when will they take place?
It's going to happen monthly. Like I said, there's 9 programs through the year, right? Obviously, it's taking into account exam times and things,
yes,
so you don't want to put a strain on the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Among these 9 get-togethers, there's going to be probably 2 or 3 outings as well, where we're going to go. I think there's one planned to the Marivale Bird Sanctuary.
Okay.
There's one that is planned where there's a specialist in bird anatomy that's going to come out and give a talk about birds.
Sure.
And then obviously where we can, whatever's related to the topic, we're going to get hopefully people that know
experience in their field
to come and give a discussion. Inshallah.
Sure.
That number, Shiraz Patel, 082-303-6736.
Just give it out again.
That's 082-303-6736. Right. Alternatively, if they can't get a hold of Shiraz, they can contact me at 082-560-7647.
Not to move away from the topic itself, but you said for over 18s, and you do have, is there any set of programs for people that are interested over that age?
Over 18, then they could join the honor rangers like ourselves, mm-hmm. where we do the voluntary duties within the national parks. And if anybody is interested, they can contact us as well. We are having our first monthly meeting next week, Wednesday, in Ridgeway. So if there's anybody interested, they can just give either myself or Shiraz a call, and then we can take it from there, inshallah. It's something, especially among the teachers, Adil, you know, it's very good to get involved in something like this, because I believe there's some credits that you get as well for being a part of...
There's the CPTD program that they've come up with now through SAIS. That's the Council of Educators, and then of course there's that integrated quality management system that they've got, which looks at obviously any upliftment that you do for yourself as a teacher. And obviously this kind of a program will have that bearing and impact, because you are improving your knowledge in order so that you can deliver a better lesson in classroom. Yeah.
See, and another program that assists, which is very good for teachers to get involved in and pass on the knowledge, is a thing called ISEC. It's an abbreviation for Invasive Species Eradication Group, where at times we go out and physically remove invasive alien species from the bush. And that gives you a better understanding. Look, to us, you know, growing up in an environment like this here, a tree is a tree.
Yeah,
but we don't understand that, you know what, a lot of these plants are actually detrimental to the growth of others. So it's good for the public education as well, and how better to educate the kids through the, you know, than through the teachers.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think it is important. You need to go study again.
Check this guy. Oh, he's putting me on the spot. No, I love to get involved, inshallah, in programs like this here. And I think I would be really interested. I'm sure a lot of teachers as well. This is where we need to focus. And it's a good move forward from your side, the Honorary Ranger side, to actually open up to the public like that. Yeah.
Okay, Farooq Maf, unfortunately, we're going to have to see what Malabam is standing outside already with the news. Turn around, you'll see.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so inshallah, from next week, we'll start discussing the different...
Well, next week, you're going to be out at half past... It's Saturday morning, inshallah.
It's Saturday morning, but...
Well, we'll probably get over the phone, inshallah.
We can do that, inshallah.
We can probably do something like get over the phone. And yeah, we can maybe just speak about the turnout and things like that as well, inshallah. And we can
I think it would be a good idea to actually call you when you're on the premises. So
we can have an idea.
And obviously, a lot of parents that want to send kids out at that time can also do that.
Well, JazakAllah khair. Next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Manan Sajati Maul, and to all our wonderful listeners, we will see you, inshallah, next week.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.